My name is Jen. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My home group is Modem to Modem. We're an online group in Oregon Area 58, District 9. We hold a literature-based discussion meeting at 12 p.m. every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to carry the message of recovery from alcoholism found in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm also DCM for District 9 here in Oregon, the Portland, like Northwest Southwest area. I have a three legacy sponsor. I also am beyond blessed to be able to sponsor others and take them through the 12 steps, traditions, and concepts. And I am currently living in steps 10, 11, and 12, rarely to the best of my ability, but always to the best of my willingness. My sponsor recently said that, and I snatched that right up because that is my experience. Okay, so. I will also give you a little bit of information. My sobriety date is June 6, 1998, and I share that absolutely not to impress you with my length of sobriety, but so I can share from my personal experience the length of one's sobriety does not necessarily dictate or determine how spiritually fit one is. My very own sponsor will lovingly tell you, in her words, not mine, that I was crazy as a loon when I when she found me. We'll just call it that. When she found me with 23 years of sobriety, and it was from her taking me through the traditions that actually allowed me to have a spiritual experience with the traditions that led to her taking me through the clear-cut directions as laid out in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, that I can now refer to myself as things like happy, joyous, and free. That this time last year, I would not have used any of those words whatsoever. So, what else? So, I can also carry a message of depth and weight. I can share with you how I've grown in my understanding and effectiveness, as it talks about in step 10 in the Big Book, which is, by the way, exactly what I've been doing the last 16 months. January 2022, I started working with, she's now my three legacy sponsor, but she was a service sponsor at the time. And I've been studying the traditions and concepts. And before I officially like launch into tradition four, I want to practice my manners. And I want to, thank D and Area 15 and District 6 Literature Committee for asking me to speak on Tradition 4. It's truly one of my 12 favorite traditions, and specifically for asking me to speak about autonomy versus consultation. And to share my experience with you on both those subjects, because it's in the sharing of that experience that, I no longer selfishly live in the feeling of gratitude. I get to express gratitude, through my actions, which is what I'm going to do today. So I'm going to start actually with As Bill Sees It. I love that this is a literature meeting. I have a whole bunch of it on my desk. I hope you brought some too. Page 105. Our chief responsibility to the newcomer is an adequate presentation of the program. And, as I mentioned in my introduction, I have a three legacy sponsor and I am a three legacy sponsor. And, regardless of where you are in your sobriety and recovery, whether you're a newcomer or an old timer or somewhere in between, if you're just beginning the study of the traditions, welcome and congratulations. I was blessed to have this spiritual experience, and I hope that some of you do too. So in regards to tradition four, I'd like you to take you beyond the words on the wall that we've all seen in the meetings. And to help me do that, I'm going to be referencing several pieces of literature. One in particular, and the one I will be referencing the most, which will probably, well, it may or may not come as a surprise to some of you, but it's the AA group pamphlet. For those not familiar with it, I liken it to my car's owner's manual, only it's a 50-page owner's manual for an AA group. And while I would love nothing more than to take you through the entire pamphlet, I'm not gonna. I'm going to focus and I'm going to read and relate my experience to tradition four. So the A group pamphlet contains 12 steps, 12 traditions in both short and long form, and the 12 concepts. And if we go to page 43, the short form of tradition four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting AA, other groups or AA as a whole. So in the dictionary, it's autonomous is defined as independent, not subject to the rule or control of others. And so basically, because I think autonomous is one of those words where I think I know what it means, and I think I understand what it means, and then I think I understand what it means in reference to this tradition. But let's pull out that really big word that says a lot with one word and plug in that definition. So if you think of tradition four again with that sort of definition in there, it says each group should be independent, not subject to the rule or control of others, except there's another little word in there, except in matters affecting other groups or A as a whole. So, in other words, yeah, my group gets to be independent. No one gets to boss us around, except for when there's something that we're doing that might step on the toes of our fellows. Such a great analogy when I look at it that way. And so, Jen, that's me. I'm acting like you're talking to me right now. What you're trying to tell me is that my group has to be respectful. We need to be considerate. We need to be gulp. That was me gulping, in case you didn't know. Loving and tolerant. Yes. Yes, I am. We need to be loving and tolerant and considerate, right? And respectful to other groups and AA. And so if we go back to our trustee, I don't know why I'm setting it down, because I'm just going to have to turn right around and pick it back up. First line of tradition for long form, which was read at the beginning, but I'm going to reread it. With respect to its own affairs, each AA group should be responsible to no other authority than its own conscience. Okay, and so 12 traditions illustrated. Here's another one that we're going to pick up. Looks like it's got so many sides. It's like the world's largest pamphlet. So the front looks like that. But when I open it up, it looks like this. So, tradition four, in each neighborhood and every part of the world reached by AA, the local group is free to work out its own customs. One more big book. I have a study edition big book, so it might look a little bigger than your big book, but it says forward to the fourth edition, last paragraph. This would be on page XXIV. While our literature has preserved the integrity of the AA message, sweeping changes in society as a whole are reflected in new customs and practices within the fellowship. So there's a lot of ownership there, own fares, own conscience, own customs and practices. It's a lot of ownership. Can my group handle all that ownership? Well, what tradition four does is it grants my group the freedom to choose and take ownership of our own customs and practices. So the forward to the fourth edition goes on, big book, XXIV, taking advantage of technological advances. For example, AA members with computers can participate in meetings online, sharing with fellow alcoholics across the country or around the world. And there's our first example of a group custom or practice, right? A group can choose whether they want to hold a meeting in person or online. That is an example of a group custom and practice that they get to choose. And here are a few others. So, meeting format. We want to have a discussion meeting, speaker meeting, beginner's meeting, big book study. Do we want to begin and end our meeting with, say, a moment of silence, a prayer or meditation, or a quote from AA literature? Will our meeting be an hour long or 90 minutes long? How long will a share be? Will we use a timer? Will Jen listen to the timer when it goes off? And will she immediately stop talking? Well, that depends. Depends. And this is again like another example of the custom and practice. Like, is it my group's custom and practice for when the timer goes off, you immediately shut up, or do you start wrapping up? And so, what are some others? Let's see. Like, do we want to have coffee or tea, both or neither? Do we want to have like celebrate birthdays with a big cake? Do we want to give out coins to those celebrating milestones? Do we want to provide big books for free, or do we want to charge them at cost? Oh, and here's a good one, and here's some experience, strength, and hope. Seventh tradition, right? So this is a good one, and it's actually a question I get a lot as a DCM, is how much do we want to keep for our prudent reserve? And do we want to set aside, say, 3 months of rent? So this would be obviously for, or it could be in-person rent of a building, or it could be for Zoom. It just, whatever, 3 months of rent of where we're holding it. Or do we want to do 3 months of our total expenses, include things like literature, coins, coffee, other things like that? And when it comes to the distribution of these funds to AA service entities, so meaning like GSO, area, district, intergroup, do we want to use, say, a set percentage, or do we want to actually look over the financial reports of these entities and see who needs the financial support the most? And that's what we did in my last home group, was it was, in the big boom of COVID, and groups and our district, our group had an excess of funds. Our district was flush with cash. Our Oregon area had lots of cash. And so we're like, well, what do we do with this? So we also looked at GSO, and we also looked at our intergroup, and our intergroup was still trying to work to get to their prudent reserve. And so we decided to send them some funds to help them reach that prudent reserve, because we had already had our prudent reserve. We knew the importance of prudent reserve. And so that instead of just doing a straight percentage and just sending it off, the group was actually very considerate. They were very thoughtful. They took time to it. And the group felt really good being able to contribute to intergroup in that way to help them meet the prudent reserve. So those are just some of the examples of customs and practices. So I'm then about to say the word however. So however, that autonomy, that whole independence, not subject to the rule or control of others, that does not mean, though, that my group has, say, the total freedom to reword the 12 steps, or, read or sell non-AA literature at our meeting. Nor does it grant, my group the freedom to format our AA meeting to, say, have like a dual purpose, or focus on drug addiction, or anything other than alcoholism. So back to the AA group pamphlet, tradition four, like in its entirety, with respect to its own affairs, each AA group should be responsible to no other authority than its own conscience. But when it plans concern the welfare of neighboring groups also, those groups ought to be consulted, and no group, regional committee, or individual should ever take any action that might greatly affect AA as a whole without conferring with the trustees of the General Service Board on such issues. Our common welfare is paramount. And so this is where I'm going to kind of start to shift from the idea of autonomy, which I think when I hear people talk about tradition four, that's always the first thing that tradition four is referenced for. It's like, well, our group is autonomous. However, we are, but then there's also this idea of consultation. And I'm going to give a handful of examples of what that consultation can look like. So I don't know why I set it down. Gotta just pick it back up again. The AA group pamphlet. So page 18, the primary purpose of any AA group is to carry the AA message to alcoholics. Experience with alcohol is one thing all AA members have in common. It's misleading to hint or give the impression that AA solves other problems or knows what to do about drug addiction. And I have a couple of experiences to share with this. So, story time. So in one of my previous home groups, we conducted a group inventory, and we used actually the list of inventory questions that are on page 29 and 30 in the AA group pamphlet. And so the first question, what is the basic purpose of our group, right? And we couldn't agree, and we couldn't agree and answer that, you know, consistently. Well, first off, a lot of people didn't understand the question right out of the gate, because I think when it says, you know, what's the basic purpose of our group, it's people got it confused with like tradition five. So they said, oh, well, the primary purpose is to carry the message. But this is asking sort of specifically, I mean, yes, that is the primary purpose of an AA group, but this is asking about our group in particular. And so we had some problems identifying that. And some of the examples that were given back from the facilitator, that we got four considerations, things to consider and ponder in relation to our group. And one was, it was asking us a set of questions. So, you know, what is our identity? And group members have different opinions as to what the group's purpose is. Is your group an AA group, or is it something else? Now, keep in mind, there was a lot of concerns voiced in addition to just varying answers, but concerns voiced that we had a lot of people that would come to our meeting, raise their hand. It was open share, very large group. It was held at our Portland Alano Club. We could have anywhere from 80 to 100 people a night. And there were a lot of, probably half the people that would get up and share were alcoholics and something else, or they were straight addicts. And the group didn't really know how to handle this, which was one of the reasons we had the inventory. And the other considerations were, if you're in AA group, how do we get on track with our primary purpose and observe AA's singleness of purpose? And if not, should we look to becoming a group with a broader purpose, such as All Addictions Anonymous? And so it really asked my group to really form a group conscience, have a discussion. What do we want to do? Are we going to be an AA group and really find some ways to make sure that we are carrying the message to the alcoholic and not trying to be everything to everyone? So, more story time, actually, another group inventory story. So a few weeks ago, I facilitated a group inventory for a group here in Oregon. And I have a few different sets of group inventory questions. One is from the set from the AA group pamphlet. There's a traditions, a concepts checklist is good. And I can provide all, I provide all of these to groups that want to do a group inventory. And the tradition four, so I had a group that wanted to use the traditions questions. And the tradition four question read, does our group do anything that does not conform to AA principles and or may affect other groups or AA as a whole? So this group meets three nights a week. One meeting's format, and they're all different formats. One of them is like a topic discussion. The second is a book study, and the third is a women's meeting. And it was mentioned that a man had come into the women's meeting, and that some of the members in the meeting asked this man to leave because it was a women's meeting. And the member that you know, raised their hand, and it was their turn to share in the inventory, asked if this is okay. And I said, well, let's consultation, right? We're on the little spiritual principle of consultation. Let's consult our AA group pamphlet. So this is an example of consultation. Is our literature is a great place to get answers. This one in particular And so we turned to page 12 and we did a little reading. At the top, it says the group where AA service structure begins. What is an AA group? It talks about the long form of tradition three. Our membership ought to include all who suffer from alcoholism. Hence, we may refuse none who wish to recover. And they said, well, that's all well and good, but there was some hesitancy. I could tell they want some clear cut answers here. And I said, well, let's just keep reading a little bit. And so we went down, oh, it's about two-thirds of the way down. Some AAs come together as specialized AA groups for men, women, young people, doctors, LGBTQ, and others, if the members are all alcoholics. And if they open the door to all alcoholics who seek help, regardless of profession, gender, or other distinction, and meet all the other aspects of defining an AA group, then they may call themselves an AA group. And I just said, do you guys call yourself an AA group? And they said, well, yeah. And I said, so what do you think this says? And they said, I think we need to let men into our women's meetings. And I asked them, I said, first off, how often does this happen? And they said, well, in the last like 5 years, once. And I said, it's a pretty good average. And, just those little things, right? Little conversations that we're being able to have. And just, I think so much that was learned about just AA as a whole, right? The only requirement for membership is desire to stop drinking. And so, love that experience. So the next thing, and it's not like a common piece of literature that I'm going to read, but I am going to read a little portion of the keynote address of the 67th General Service Conference report made by General Service Trustee William N. And so if anyone has this piece of literature just sort of hanging around in their back pocket, it's page 5. AA leaders have a sacred duty to, above all else, embrace all 12 traditions. I do not believe we should ever look for a way around a tradition. History shows the fourth tradition was not created to be a veto over the others. I love the very direct and language and the analogy about, trying to use tradition four and the idea of autonomy as a way to veto like another tradition. Rather, it was created to give groups flexibility regarding group customs. If any group breaks a tradition, it is in all caps, just so you know, affecting other groups and AA as a whole. And so, when we look at AA's symbol, right, the triangle, it's important to remember that it has three sides for a reason. So the steps are first legacy of recovery is one side. The traditions are second legacy of unity is another side. And the concepts are third legacy of service is the other side. And, the 12 steps of recovery, that's AA's message. The 12 traditions, unity, protect that message. And the 12 concepts of service perpetuate that message. So being autonomous means my group is free to make decisions for our group, right? For our group, but it doesn't mean that we get to make decisions for other groups or make decisions that will affect other groups or AA as a whole. And this one's going to probably feel, seems like it's coming out of left field, but nor does it grant, my group freedom to go against the group conscience of US and Canada. And it's probably right about now there's someone in the room going, whoa, 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 whoa. US and Canada? What on God's green earth is she talking about? And that is exactly what I said to myself when my service sponsor said those exact same words to me, words that she was so kind to explain. So all AA conference approved literature has been through the very lengthy and painstaking conference approval process. So everything I've read here today so far, right? So, well, except for my little paper, big book, pamphlets, as Bill sees it, the 12 steps and 12 traditions, our service materials, even. It's all just that. It's all gone through that conference approval process. And so, similar to that, say, of the informed group conscience at my home group, only this material has been through, not just the voting of my home group, it's been voted on by my group and all groups throughout US and Canada, right? Like when the delegates come together, it's this time of year, quite literally, that they all come together and they have these sort of discussions and conversations. And, do we make any adjustments to this literature? Do we remove this literature altogether? Do we implement new literature? All of these things are discussed. And it feels like at a much bigger level. And it really is, because it's all of the groups in US and Canada. And so if my group decides to say, reword the 12 steps, we are actually going against the group conscience of the US and Canada. And that's not unity, right? Like, that's not unity. And it's like my group saying, well, I know everybody voted on this, but we know better, right? Like, we want to be different. And I don't really use this phrase that often, but that kind of reminds me of that, the phrase, like the terminal uniqueness, right? And I don't, in my experience, like that, I guess it's kind of like an attitude, right? Like that kind of attitude will affect other groups or A as a whole, maybe not today and maybe not tomorrow. But as experience shows us, it inevitably it will. So all that being said, we can't forget there is something really important. So 12 and 12, page 147, tradition 4, also grants every group the right to be wrong. And I'm always hesitant to say that phrase because, again, it's sort of like we're looking for that little veto or, something. But the principle behind this, the whole right to be wrong, is from the angle of we're all human, we're all learning, and we will make mistakes. God knows I have made more than my fair share. If you don't consider yourself to have, made many mistakes, never fear. I have probably used your mistakes for you. So I appreciate that. It's very thoughtful and gracious of you. And while Tradition 4 does grant every group the right to be wrong, it isn't designed to be like a get out of jail free card. So if we're each doing our own step work, right? That's the thing, is getting into service doesn't mean we set the first legacy aside and our recovery and our personal step work, because I got to keep an eye on those character defects, right? Those things that, have placed me in the position for that whole power, money, prestige, all that kind of stuff. And so I have to do my own step work. Say if my group is continuing to do its work too, like it conducts a regular group inventory. If the group practices the tradition's spiritual principle of consultation, whether it's with other groups, trusted servants of our district area inner group, and most importantly, if my group has a well-informed group conscience, spiritual principle of tradition 2, found on page 28 of AA group pamphlet. I have so much literature out here. I'm surprised you guys can even see me. So it's got what is an informed AA group conscience? And it's got another really good on page 30 about those AA group problems. I used to read both of those at the beginning start of our business meetings. Sort of gave us a little bit of spiritual direction, and a little bit of reminders that we're all in the boat together. Grab an oar, let's row. And so, hopefully if we're doing this consulting, right, and if we have an informed group conscience, then we will hopefully learn from our mistakes. And when we know better, we can do better. So let's see some other ways that my group can honor and practice the spiritual principle of consultation and of tradition four are listed in my owner's manual. Like, again, we talked about the regular group inventory, page 29. We can hold regular business meetings, page 30. We can consider the safety of, you know, our group and its members. That's page 31. We can understand, you know, how our group relates to AA as a whole. That's page 32 through 38. And, you know, it's also helpful to like study, understand, and discuss the three legacies as a group. That's page 40 through 49. And so I may be done a little early. I'm not sure what happens if I'm done early, but I think we are about to find out. So I know, though, that I have thrown a lot of literature at you. That's for sure. Well, maybe not thrown. Hopefully it didn't hit anyone in the head. But, you know, I've definitely shared a lot with you. Let's put it that way. I've shared a lot with you, and hopefully some of it stuck. And if not, I'm going to leave you with one wonderful takeaway. So found in 12 Traditions Illustrated, this guy, the fourth tradition is like the fourth step. It suggests that the AA group should take honest inventory of itself, asking about each of its independently planned actions. Would this break any tradition? So let this be my parting gift to you. Consider it spiritual homework for your home group. And I can imagine there's probably one of you, maybe even two, maybe D. Yes, I was talking about you. That are thinking, homework, homework. I don't want to do homework. This is the end of the world. Maybe. Except in my experience, as found on page 316 in the big book, in the story, My Chance to Live, events I thought that were the end of the world turned out to be gifts. And so I want to thank you for the greatest possible gift of all, being of service to you all today.